Hello, everybody. Just checking my audio levels. Yes, I am live. We are live. Welcome, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. You should be able to see me now. A weekly live stream covering all the news in the live stream and content creation industry. This week, we've got a pretty packed show. We'll be chatting about Stream Elements, huge funding round, and what that might mean for creators. Twitch's confusing DMCA email that they sent out to do with their new deal with the NMPA. We've got the return of TwitchCon, as well as the main feature of tonight's podcast, or today's podcast, depending on where in the world you're joining from, which will be both YouTube and Twitch's latest announcements or leaks about new features that they've been working on. And they're really just trying to get you across to their platforms as both a streamer and a viewer. So plenty to cover. For any new watchers and listeners, as I said, this is a live show we do every Monday here on YouTube. So please do feel free to join in the chat. We'll be looking at chat throughout the show and getting your thoughts on all the topics we'll be discussing. Great to see so many of you already participating from all over the world. So hello to Intello, Jamie, Anxious Gamer, Vlambulance, Watchy, Nick, Tim. So many people already participating. So thanks for joining in the chat already. And as I said, let us know your thoughts on all the topics that we're discussing. Ben, we'll head straight over to you in what I think might be the world's worst segue, but as a Twitch streamer for both big brands and your own personal channel, do you use Streamlabs or Stream Elements? Because that's going to dictate where we start tonight's show.
I am a Streamlabs user for now, although kind of teasing what we're going to talk about here. I may have to switch to Stream Elements pretty soon with how much support they're getting lately.
Okay.
I've used Streamlabs for years. So what about you? What have you touched more in?
I've used both, but that's my job as a teacher of these platforms. You've hinted towards the Stream Elements. So let's start with that news. Do you want to introduce that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big headline to just go right into. The big news is that Stream Elements raised over $100 million in funding to support creators, which is just an astronomical number, I think, for funding for this kind of brand, especially because I feel like we talk a lot about Streamlabs features, maybe not as much with Stream Elements, but now any brand with this much funding behind them is not joking around. So I'm really curious to see what that's going to end up looking like. I think there are a couple articles that came out, and you've got one on the screen there if you want to go through that just a little bit to see some more of the details that have come out.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there isn't too much in the article. There is like an interview with some of the main people at Stream Elements. But what would you want from this? You know, if Stream Elements, a service similar to Streamlabs, for those of you that use Streamlabs, basically the main part of their service is overlays, but they also have chatbots and ways that you can donate through their platform and merchandise and sponsorships. Basically, it's a competitor to Streamlabs. Both platforms are really good, and usually what happens is a streamer sets up with one of the two and then uses it for the rest of their streaming career, so to speak. So they really want you to be using their platform, but being able to raise $100 million is a big deal. And hopefully we as content creators and streamers will see that money used to build amazing features. That's my prediction. And my hope is really that this money is heavily invested in the development of the website and the tools that it enables us content creators to use. And that seems to be the sort of some of the hints from this article with a few interviews with like the CEO and COO, is really that they're going to be focusing on continuing to build tools, not just for streamers, but for content creators as a whole. So that's my hope with the funding. But I don't know if you've seen anything different, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, just piecing through this article that you have linked here, the parts that interested me was that they specifically called out two things they want to go after with this funding, among others. But the biggest are they called out Trovo, which was really interesting to me because I feel like we've talked a little bit about Trovo, but I haven't really seen a whole lot of traction on this yet. Maybe overseas it's got more of this. So I guess they want to have more integration with Trovo, which makes sense, just hit more platforms, I guess. But the other one was YouTube videos. So not only just live broadcast stuff, but actual offline videos of some kind. So I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't think Streamlabs or Stream Elements do a lot with YouTube videos right now. And I'm trying to think what they would want to do with those types of things. If it's taking some of like the rewards incentives or even like donation type things that they do with live broadcasts over to the video side. Now that we even have, I think, ways to like cheer videos essentially on YouTube. Maybe they want to play into that kind of thing and offer some new features there. So I'm not sure, but those are really new areas, I think, both of those for this type of software. I mean, specifically about the alerts and that whole suite of software stuff, not just the broadcast tool. So I'm really interested to see what they come out with here. I don't really see myself using Trovo right now, at least, but I'm just really interested why they called out Trovo so specifically with this funding. If maybe a part of the funding came from Trovo or something to do with that side of things, and they really want to build that out especially.
There's been some interesting points in chat. Both Jabba and Jasper have mentioned two of the recent features that Stream Elements have built, which is Stream Elements Pay, which effectively I think is trying to be a bit of a competitor to PayPal for content creators. So really helping streamers deal with things like chargebacks, but also Mercury, which is Stream Elements, I guess, like integration really with YouTube, being able to update descriptions and things like that live as people subscribe and support you. You can like add, you know, your latest member of your YouTube channel and things like that. So they're definitely chasing not just the live streamer market. And I think that maybe is why they've mentioned YouTube and other platforms so heavily in this interview. But I think it's all good news, right, Ben? It's like, it's all things that we want to hear. Money's being invested, and really Stream Elements isn't something that you necessarily pay for. Obviously, if you use things like Stream Elements Pay or their merch store or things like that, then you are inevitably paying them through you know, little charges here and there. But then they've shied away from the Stream Labs model of going with Prime and trying to put loads of features behind a paywall. So hearing that they've raised $100 million, if that all, or even a good portion of that, goes back into the development of new features for creators, I think it's all good news.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. The more features that we can have to give us tools to use as creators, the better. And if they have new features, like you mentioned, especially on the video side, that are new platforms. Like, I think what's really cool is if you think about Streamlabs sort of started the whole notification system on Twitch that's become so standard today, and you just couldn't imagine streaming without it anymore. So if they could do that with some other areas like offline videos or places that just haven't been explored yet, then I think there could be some really cool things that come out and become a big part of that experience. So we'll see what they come out with that much funding. There's got to be something that comes out there. But well, I know we had Streamlabs news as well.
Let's jump into that. I mean, it's not technically the same kind of topic, but Streamlabs have also had an announcement this week with a new feature called Charity Rewards. This effectively looks like it's a separate website that Streamlabs have built, which is going to be charity-based, similar to some of the other platforms out there, that's helping you raise money for specific charities. And it's a way of being able to integrate that with your live stream. So you can directly set up certain rewards when people donate. These can be physical items that you then ship out, or, you know, digital shout outs or anything else like that. But effectively, it looks like Streamlabs are trying to build a competitor to all those charity live streaming platforms where they can help you fundraise for certain charities and then directly deal with the donation and sending that off to the charity. But this was a cool little update where you can. I love how they're like plugging all the Logitech merchandise, because obviously Streamlabs are now owned by Logitech. But this looked like a pretty cool way for people that like running charity streams. I know I've done some in the past. I'm sure you've been involved in some in your time as both your own solo creator as well as the brands that you work with. But tools like this, pretty useful. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really cool feature. I think anytime you can add a new charity feature to streaming is just a really cool thing to add more purpose to what you're doing. This kind of reminds me of Tiltify, if you've ever used their system. They have a incentive feature system as well, but this seems like it's a little more automated in terms of it'll do things like if you want to have a physical reward, it'll collect the person's shipping info, but then it won't if it's a, you know, digital reward type thing. And you can set a limit on how much you want to give away. So if you have like 5 keyboards or something, and you obviously can't give out 100 keyboards for whatever the incentive is, you can stop that goal after 5 and then have that just go to the first 5 who donate. So there's some cool stuff built into this, I think, that makes a lot of sense. And again, I just love any sort of charity stuff that we can see out here, especially because I think this kind of thing doesn't directly benefit Streamlabs per se in the way that they would be taking as much money. I actually don't remember how much does Streamlabs take from the donation fee. Like if you actually donate to a charity during a stream, are they benefiting from this at all?
I wouldn't have thought, for a charity based thing. They'd probably just want to be the company that helps
right
that happen, but I wouldn't have thought they took any fee. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. So that's why I think this is even cooler to see, because it doesn't directly benefit their bottom line, but they still went out of their way to make it for charity events. So I think it's a pretty cool initiative to see. And I as someone who's done charity streams, I would probably use this over the Tiltify experience because it seems a little more intuitive for viewers to interact and donate with too.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that Streamlabs are much more closely knit with what streamers want and building tools for that. So it's weird that there's like a competitor when we're talking about charity-based stuff, but they've obviously seen a bit of a gap in the market. And again, they'll probably build this integration directly into Streamlabs OBS, and that's probably their ultimate goal, is get more people streaming with that platform and then converting more people to Prime. But free features for people running charity streams, not going to complain about that. And we do complain about Streamlabs enough, so I feel like got to give them a thumbs up when they do introduce a cool new feature. Where do you want to go next? We go to the Twitch and NMPA deal. How do you feel with acronyms? Because there's DMCA, NMPA. What's the American music one? AI something or other. But too many acronyms there.
All around music, man. I think we have to talk about this one, even though it feels almost like old news now because it came out, I think, a week or two ago. But basically, you may have seen that Twitch and NMPA came to a deal, and Twitch made a big deal about announcing this deal with NMPA, which basically just changes or offers a different way for music publishers to take down content on Twitch. So it's not replacing DMCA in a way. It's sort of like an alternative for people to use, publishers to use to claim music that is more forgiving to the creator than DMCA, essentially. And it's an opt-in thing. So the publishers can choose to use this or just use DMCA. Hopefully they'll use this method to try and help the whole ecosystem of creators. But basically, instead of just taking down the content and issuing a strike, like usual, it'll give a warning to the creator. And Twitch has some things to do with muting the VOD and taking off the stuff automatically. That's supposed to be a better experience for the creator and the publisher. But it doesn't ultimately solve or replace DMCA. I just want to make that clear. So there's been a lot of articles that have come out saying like this fixes DMCA and it's no longer an issue. And most of those have been reverted since people have learned a little bit more about the issue and realize DMCA is still going to be a thing, but at least this is like the first step in publishers being able to have an alternative method, I think. But I don't know, there's been a lot of discussion about this, Pete. What are your initial thoughts seeing all this come out?
I mean, I probably had the same reaction to most streamers receiving the email, thinking, finally, Twitch has contacted the right people and they've been working together and they've struck a deal similar to Facebook where people are going to be able to stream with, you know, certain libraries of songs. So I was a little bit deflated to find out actually nothing has changed. You still can't stream with any music that you don't own the rights to, or you shouldn't, certainly, because you're going to risk DMCA strikes and then enough of those and you can get your whole account basically banned. But it looks like the positives from this are that Twitch has now got a conversation going with the right people, and it could well lead to that further down the line. We can cross our fingers and hope that they can strike a similar deal to what Facebook have done, and you know, maybe the music industry will start to realize that it could be beneficial to work with certain content creators and streamers to have their music in the backgrounds of streams. But we're not there yet. And where we are is they're building a system, like you said, where rights holders are going to be able to choose what to do with the music that they have the rights to. So do they want to send a DMCA? Do they want it to be allowed? I imagine there's probably going to be a system where do they want to include their music in Twitch's soundtrack. I'm trying to remember the name of their music library. It is soundtrack, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So it is. I think the good news from this is the conversation is happening and we can hopefully start to see improvements. And there's one quote that I want to pull out from the article, if I bring up the screen share here, where it says, this is an interview with the NMPA president. I'm not going to try and read his name because that looks too difficult to do live. Through our discussions, Twitch has shown a commitment to valuing musicians and to creating new ways to connect them with fans in this space. Effectively, what they're saying is hopefully both parties are going to realize that this can be beneficial for the streamers and for the musicians. So I really am crossing my fingers and hoping that this is going to mean, firstly, more musicians start to allow their music to be used on Twitch because they can see the benefit of doing that, but also the system that's in place now where people are super scared of streaming anything that they don't own the rights to, and rightfully so. Like that is the standpoint that I would have. Like I don't stream with anything other than music that I own the rights to, and even when I'm showing clips and things, I'm pretty careful to make sure that it's it's something that I couldn't get in trouble for. But it'd be nice to be able to move to a bit of a more safe place where you can get away with, you know, having certain music because it's been allowed by the musicians.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's interesting because in the article they talk about how this is supposed to support musicians in a sense. And I think it could down the line, but so far Twitch has not done a great job of doing that with things like soundtrack, because that's had its own issues in terms of live versus recorded licensing. And I think not even necessarily giving the money back to the creator when streamers are using their music and helping support those creators. So I think there's a lot of potential here, but this isn't quite what we need to solve the issues. But like you said, hopefully it's a good first step to some future things coming to the space. I really think Twitch could be a great way to help a lot of, you know, not AAA, but some aspiring musicians to get more visibility on their stuff. And we've seen people do that, especially if they're streaming on Twitch as well. But right now, the ecosystem doesn't quite support it. So I'm hoping that there's some better things that come out here down the line as these partnerships continue. I would really like to see Twitch just do what Facebook does and just pay the licensing fee for everything, right? But I don't see them doing that unless they get a lot of pressure too from YouTube as well. And they're the only one not doing it at that point.
Yeah. I mean, we've said enough times now, haven't we, that Twitch is owned by Amazon and Amazon has a Spotify competitor. Like, just build some kind of cool integration there. I mean, I know it's much more complicated than building an integration, but Amazon clearly has the links to the music industry because they have a music platform where people stream music and they pay musicians based on how many streams there are. So can they not just... It just feels to me like Amazon, huge company, Twitch, pretty big company, music industry, massive. And it's just like the wrong people talking to each other. And there's probably, if they found the right person in Amazon Music to connect with Twitch, to connect with now the NMPA, it could all be, there could be this beautiful solution where, you know, artists are in some way rewarded based on how many streams of their songs through Twitch based on Amazon. I don't know. I'm just spitballing and I know it's a lot more complicated than that, but if Facebook could do it and Facebook don't own any kind of music platform, I don't understand why Amazon don't give some resource to this, because they're already involved in the music industry. But DMCA, I don't know, it just raises my heart rate by like 30 every time we start talking about it. So
same here, every episode feels like
we're moving in the right direction. That's my hope.
Yes.
And maybe here's another segue. I'm all about the segues today. Maybe we'll hear more about it at TwitchCon. So let's talk about the announcement that came out this week, which is that TwitchCon is thankfully, hopefully, returning in 2022, both the European version, which I think is going to be based in Amsterdam, and the one in North America, which is going to be in, I'm scrolling through whilst I'm remembering, is it San Jose? Is it San Diego? One of those that it's been at before?
San Diego
is in October 2022. So I'll bring up the screen share here since I'm already talking about it. But yeah, this is great news for anybody that likes going to these conventions. I've been to, I think, four now. Two in EU? Has there been two in EU and two in America? Anyway, I've been to multiple. It's always a great time, like meeting so many other streamers, people that you interact with daily, but you don't actually meet up and have a beer or have a meal with. It's great fun. I've actually never met you in real life, Ben. So is this going to be an opportunity? if I fly over to the American one in October, are we going to do a live podcast from a hotel room somewhere?
Yeah, hopefully. Or a booth, maybe. Sometimes you can get the booths on the floor to let you do it. We'll see.
We'll have to pull some strings with some sponsors there.
Yeah, if only we know somebody. I think this is really cool because everyone's been waiting for TwitchCon for so long. I know even this year, people were really curious to see if they would bring it back with everything happening. And it just seemed like it wasn't the year for it either. They really announced it pretty far in advance too. I think because there's been so much waiting for it at this point, especially because like one's a year out, one in North America, and the Europe one is almost that far. So I guess they really want to start building the hype. And I've even seen people making like videos about what to do at TwitchCon and prepping already like a year out for this kind of thing. So I think it'd be pretty cool to see how much interest there is after so long away. I am curious though, because there have been a lot of TwitchCons at this point, and I wonder how the atmosphere will change sort of now that live streaming isn't quite as new and big as it was, you know, even like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And in post-COVID, like how that'll change things too with these types of events. So we'll see. But yeah, hopefully we can get a live podcast going in one of these if you're coming out to North America for that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it all does happen, and fingers crossed it does. I mean, certainly over here in I will say Europe, even though technically we're no longer in Europe, but things are opening up slowly. And I think that's why they're confident that TwitchCon Amsterdam can happen in July. That's definitely a lot later than it was in previous years, because I think it was in May in previous years. So maybe they're playing it a little bit safe there. But it's always such a great event. I'm always thinking, oh, do I really want to fly like 6 hours to the States and then overpay for a hotel room and just be jet lagged for a week? And it's great being invited to like all these partner parties, but really they just want you to be there to so that they can schmarm you with more advertising deals. But it's always so good, like meeting people from the gaming careers community, meeting other streamers, and like even people that you email with from certain brands, and just being able to catch up. It's so good. I would highly recommend going if you can get to one of these easily. The good thing about Amsterdam is it's really accessible for like anybody in Europe, really. Like I think for me, I can fly there in less than an hour. So it's really, really close. And then obviously the bigger one, the one in San Diego, that's always super, super popular. So I'll definitely make my best effort to get to that. I'll certainly be going to Amsterdam. If the promise is that Ben's going to be there, then I'm probably going to make it to the one in the States as well. And we can do a live podcast. But good to see so many people in the chat already saying that they're going to be heading that way. And I was just read something. Oh yeah, no, when you were talking about how people are already sorting things, I think that's because the prices just end up escalating once like Airbnb sellers in San Diego realize that there's an event that's going true. On that weekend, they just like up the prices. So some people are just trying to beat the prices, and I think that's pretty smart. And you could probably get flights like really cheap right now because all airlines are trying to get people flying as quickly as possible. So yeah, I'll definitely make my effort to be there, and hopefully Twitch does a big keynote like they used to with the next year's worth of features, because that was awesome. That's really why I went, to be able to make a video about that. But yeah, that's cool. I think we can now move on to talking about the new YouTube and Twitch features. So where do you want to start there? Do you want to?
Yeah,
we've been talking about Twitch. So should we start with YouTube's two new features?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think this is, we talk a lot about how YouTube has been developing new features lately with things like the membership streaks. That's today. But in terms of like some of the subscriber badges and things like that they've added recently, member milestones, the newest thing they've added as of today, which is just like Twitch, you can essentially see how long you've been a member on a channel. And I feel bad because Fwiz tried to show this video and it just completely got killed by the Twitter compression on Twitter. But basically, I assume, trying to like squint my eyes at this, that you can actually see how long you've been subscribed and then share that in the chat, just like on Twitch with your membership anniversary.
Yeah.
Which is a cool feature. And again, I think it is pretty one-to-one from Twitch, what I've seen so far. Have you seen a clear version of this by chance?
No, it's funny that you mentioned that. Exact same experience. Fwiz has been absolutely ruined by the Twitter video compression algorithm here, because like you can't make out what he's trying to share, and he's clearly like put together this video showing the new feature. But effectively, yeah, it seems to be, I would agree, a one-to-one copy of Twitch, which is not a bad thing. Like, I actually quite like that YouTube is happy copying features that work well and they don't see a reason to change from Twitch, because a lot of people's complaints about YouTube live streaming experience are to do with layout and little features like this. And yes, it might seem minor, but you can see now the direction. They're happy to copy features from Twitch. And this one being where you can share your streak or how many months you've been supporting a creator, it's only going to entice viewers to support creators more, which at the end of the day, I think as streamers is something that we all want to see. It reminds me, I should probably turn memberships on this channel just in case we have anybody that wants to become a member of the Gaming Careers channel, and then we could test these features live. But yeah, this is cool. And then there was another thing that they announced, which was just a small thing, but theater mode chat is now available on mobile. So you can have a full stream, like the 16:9 stream and chat experience down the side. Again, sounds small, but something that people have wanted for a long time. You had to have like chat overlaid over the video, and it wasn't always easy to read or easy to see the video behind. So now you can do theater mode. So all we really need now is them to do theater mode on the desktop version, because right now you have to use like plugins to be able to do that. And I really hope that that's not going to be YouTube's stance. It's like, oh, you can do that quite easily with the 7TV plugin. Like, it should just be built. It's a really nice, that's how I watch all streams on Twitch in theater mode, like, because it fills the 16:9 monitor fully, and chat over on one side and you can experience it and it's still like full screen. It feels good. So I hope they do. They know about it because they built it for mobile. So fingers crossed right. They do it for desktop too.
Yeah. Did you see, I think this actually impacts traditional YouTube videos too. So you can actually see the comments while you're watching a video now in that same way.
Oh, really?
If it's not a live stream. Yeah. I noticed that this week. And if you guys are in chat, you've seen this, let me know. But I think this is both video and live. So kind of a cool thing. I know some people had asked for that too, to be able to see that mode while watching a video. So that's kind of a nice addition too, if you're more of...
Is that only for live chat replays on videos or like a literal traditional VOD upload if it has timestamps? They
exactly.
Okay, interesting.
Any basic video, I've been able to see the chat on the side, and maybe it was just me, but I believe it's the same kind of style as the live. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is cool. And we can directly now compare this to what Twitch has been implementing. I think I've got this out of order, so I'm actually going to go straight to the rewind functionality, which, our friend Zach Bussey, well, I say our friend, I don't know if he feels like he's our friend, but we use his tweets quite often. This is a new feature that Twitch is apparently testing, which is the ability to rewind a live stream. Now, the screenshot that we've got here doesn't really show true rewind capability. It basically shows, for the people listening on the podcast, that you can jump back 5 minutes. And the second screenshot shows basically what will happen when you click that button. The larger screen will show you the 5 minutes ago rewind, and then the actual live broadcast, as it is still live, will go up into the top right above the chat, similar to how the new ad experience works. So hopefully I've described that right. But this feels a little bit limited. Like, you don't always want to jump back 5 minutes. Sometimes you just want to pause and go and have your lunch and then be able to resume. Like, it's one of the least talked about features on YouTube, and it's so good. The amount of times that I'll be watching a live stream and then I'll need to go and do something, and I'll just pause the video, and then when I come back, I can watch the live stream at like 1.25 times speed and like slowly catch back up to live. This is nowhere near that level of functionality, is it? This is about as basic as it can get. Basically, it's creating a 5 minute buffer that you can go back in. You can probably catch up with a quicker speed, but you can't go back 10 minutes. It doesn't seem like you're going to be able to pause and then just resume when you're back in time. But we don't know at what stage this is being tested. This could be like the very first test that they did, and they plan to implement all these features straight after. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'll be honest. I haven't watched as many YouTube streams, so I haven't really used the rewind feature as much. I'm curious to see in chat if you guys use this very often or rarely. I think this is a cool update, because mainly because you have that simple jump back 5 minutes button right there in the VOD. I did want to say, I'm pretty sure with Twitch, you can go back and watch, even if a stream is still live, you can go to the channel videos and see the VOD that is currently live and still watch that. So there is a way to go back there if you really want to go back and see the current video. It's just not as intuitive as YouTube, right? Where you can go click right into the player and jump back instantly, however far you want to go. So I think it would be nice to get there eventually, but it is kind of cool to see the picture in picture piece they have. I think it's one thing that YouTube doesn't have, is that you can still go back and look at something, but still see what's happening live in the corner. So I kind of like this feature, honestly. And I'm someone who hadn't used a lot of the replay feature too much on YouTube, but I think I might use it more on Twitch, because generally, like, I don't feel like I'm going to go back more than 5 minutes. If I want to like replay something I just saw, that's probably enough for me. And if I really need to, I can go into the video section and find it. But that's just my perspective. I don't know if you have a different take on that, or people in the chat, I'd love to hear that side too.
Yeah, well, speaking of the chat, there's a lot of people saying that they use this functionality a lot on YouTube. And there's also people saying that they do the same thing that you do on Twitch, where they go to the videos tab, find the current live stream, and then can like watch it. It's just not built as a feature though, is it? Like, you found a workaround, which is great, but like, as a new user arriving to Twitch, you would have no idea that you could do that. Whereas what's nice is YouTube, from the very beginning, it feels like has thought about, some people are going to be watching this, maybe not knowing it's live. And we get people all the time on this podcast jumping in and asking if we've already spoken about something like the title of this podcast. And we often tell them, you can just rewind, you can go back and watch it now.
True.
I think it's a nice feature. Maybe Twitch doesn't think it's a huge priority, but they clearly do want to build some of the features that YouTube has, because otherwise they wouldn't be working on this. And this is the first time in like 5-6 years that I've seen Twitch actually thinking about VODs or in some way of being able to rewind or pause. So I'm really excited for this. I really hope that they end up copying YouTube's feature exactly and it can work exact same way, because it's one of the things I love about watching live streams on YouTube. And I actually end up watching a lot of esports on YouTube rather than Twitch when they have like dual streams going for that very purpose. Like I can't just sit and watch Twitch all day. Like I often have to, actually work. So it's nice to be able to like skip through all the faff in between matches in an esports event and then just be able to go straight to the action, or you know, pause and rewind just 5 seconds, 30 seconds if you want to watch a thing happen again. So I must iterate, we don't know when this is coming out. This seems to have been you know shared, but not officially from Twitch, so I guess it's more of a leak than a share, and who knows when it will come out, but it's good to see that they're actually working on it. The other thing that Twitch have been working on is the chat verification options. So I'll share these on screen now. Effectively, this is, I'll zoom in once as well so people can see a bit more clearly. This is their solution, and I'm gonna let you in. I think this is really amazing if they're gonna get this out soon, but this is part of their solution for dealing with the spam bots and spam chat in general. It's gonna be a whole list of options that you can customize as a streamer as to what you want to enable and disable on your chat. So Ben, I don't know if you've got the screenshot open as well and you want to walk through it, or you want me to keep going if you don't have it open.
Yeah, I can pull it up here and go through. I mean, basically this is the thing that people have been waiting for a long time. I think some of the features here are things that even the community had outsourced as potential solutions and said, here's what would help. And so it looks like Twitch is potentially going to go make it. This is still kind of like a work in progress, it seems like, from what we've seen, and not final. But basically, you have two main buckets of verification now. The first is email verification. The second is phone. And within those, you have different levels of verification, essentially. So you can set it to be everyone in chat has to have a verified email, or some people, whether it's like first-time chatters, chatters without a verified email address, older than 1 week, or than a certain day, or who have followed for more than a certain day. So there's different levels of verification. If you really want to just clamp down on this and you're getting a lot of bots, I want to have everyone have that, then I think that's an option. Or if you make it like an older account, so it can't be someone who just verified 1 day ago and now can follow like that, that's an option. And then same thing for the phone, which in my mind, it's nice to have both of these, because you can do both or one or the other if you want to. If, again, if you're one of those people who's getting a lot of scammers coming in and you just have to get as little of that happening as possible, you can just put these both at max and you'll be good to go on that side. So this is huge, I think. And I know that these are an ongoing problem, not just for like the hate raids, but even like the whole hotspot spam thing and all the strange, even like this, the stuff that's been around forever, the whole want to be famous on Twitch thing, those bots going around. So this feels like a big win. I think one of the most exciting things I've seen from Twitch in a long time, if it rolls out this way. Again, it's still kind of work in progress, so we'll see. But yeah, this is kind of exactly what I was hoping to see from Twitch for the first time in a while. Something I think they've gotten right if it comes out this way.
I mean, what strikes me as impressive, and the reason I am impressed by this, if it comes out soon, and I hope it's not just like a UI mock-up, and I hope that this is actually like in testing, is that this is, there's so much customization. I kind of thought it would be four options, like all chatters must have an email verified, or all chatters must have a phone verified, or none of the above. But there's probably like 40, 50 different combinations that you can set up here. The fact that you can set it that some chatters must have a verified email, and that chatters that have followed you for more than a week can chat without a verified email. Like there's so many layers of customization here, so that you can hopefully find a setting that prevents all of this spam and the bots coming in, but also keeps your community, you know, safe without them needing to add a verified email or a verified phone number just to be able to watch you. I think that's awesome. I think it's really smart by Twitch, and they've clearly thought about it. I really hope that this rolls out quickly. I know there's been a few screenshots that have come out, like one in English and one in German, so hopefully this is actually showing in some people's dashboards. Also worth mentioning, for people on the podcast that can't see the screenshot, you can exempt your subscribers, VIPs, or moderators from this. So you don't have to think about, you know, every single group of people. But that's what I mean. Like the level of customization here is going to be huge. I wonder what the default is going to be for people setting up a new Twitch account. Is it going to be completely open so that anybody can chat? Probably. But I wonder if Twitch thinks that this is a big enough problem with all of these hate raids that they're actually going to put some level of moderation and prevent, you know, first-time chatters from writing in your chat if they haven't got a verified email. I think that's probably the smallest of the requirements.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to have some base level of this by default, especially, I don't know, we'll have to see how they do it. I think it's a good practice if they do roll this out for most people to have one or the other, probably, for email. Email seems like such a basic thing. And I don't, the thing about email is I don't think it's going to stop all bots with that one in particular, unless you have a very high level of verification. So that one seems like a good baseline to start with. And then the phone would be an optional one potentially, because that one seems like it's a little tougher to spoof around with bots. So I think we'll start that with the baseline, especially because Twitch has had so much bad press with it lately that it would be such a great PR move for them to say like that's required for all accounts now, just to ensure safety. But it might also limit new account creation and new user adoption. So I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough balance, isn't it? Because you don't want to be making it harder for streamers to get people chatting in chat. It's already hard enough for a lot of new streamers out there. I think there's like two or three cool updates from both platforms, and they're clearly really fighting to get as many streamers and viewers on their platform as possible. And we've seen that over the past few weeks with all the acquisitions of Tim the Tapman and Dr. Lupo. So for me, I'm always chuffed when new features come out, and especially when like they've thought about it. Twitch has clearly thought about this chat verification thing, and I really hope that that rolls out so people can stop having to deal with these hate raids. That there's only, I think, one little bit of chat, a little bit of news that we haven't touched on, and we probably should have touched on it when we were talking about Ryan's tweet and how it got absolutely murdered by the Twitter video compression, because Twitter have announced that they are improving the video compression for any videos that you upload as tweets. And they have this nice little GIF which goes from like super pixelated up to high quality. Now, I haven't seen any benchmarks or any details about actually what you get and what you used to get, but I have definitely suffered from this before. I've tried to share clips from videos or like little tips, and the video just looks horrendous. And you think, I actually probably might delete that tweet because it's actually not helpful, because people can't even see what's going on. Exactly the same as Ryan's tweet when he was trying to share a new YouTube feature that they've been working on. So I guess this is good news for anybody that is doing, I guess, what's advised at the moment, creating little highlights or snippets for social media, whether it's TikTok or YouTube Shorts or Twitter. Higher video quality, I think, in this world where everybody's like 4G and 5G networks and phones aren't, you know, downloading at super slow bit rates anymore. Hopefully it's all good. But like I said, I haven't seen any details. Have you seen anything about the actual improvements, what you can get now, what the best standard to upload in is?
No, I mean, I just saw this baseline announcement like you did, and I haven't, obviously it's not fully rolled out yet per Ryan's tweet, because he had quite, this is even a GIF, by the way, it's not even a video they showed on the tweet. That's so true. They can't even show it in action yet. I don't know when it's coming exactly. It says starting today, so that makes me kind of suspicious that Ryan's tweet looked so bad. Actually, that was 2 days before, I guess. So that makes sense. But hopefully the video is looking better now. This feels like a really big win, especially because A, it's one more platform to put stuff on if you want to take your clips or highlights and things to put on another platform. But B, it's a rare platform where you can use the native resolution of Twitch and not have to make like a Streamlabs type thing or resize your video to work on TikTok vertical video type stuff. So this feels like a really big win. And I think people haven't used Twitter that much in the past because there's been so many issues. I heard you had to upload in 4K to get it to look half decent on Twitter in the past. So hopefully this will mean a lot more clips that are actually watchable in the future on Twitter, and just more ways to share your stuff if you're a creator.
That's funny, because I think I've heard the exact opposite advice, that if you upload in too high of a resolution, that's what ends up getting it compressed so much. But I think I've experimented with loads of different things. I remember you used to have to make your videos like less than 7 seconds for them to automatically loop. I think that limit has now been removed as well, but it's always fun trying to navigate all these constraints as a content creator. But I think that's a really good point. Twitter is one of these new video platforms, well, not even a new video platform, but it's one of the few video platforms that support 16:9 natively. So, you know, there's not as much work to re-edit your content as you have to for YouTube Shorts or TikTok or Instagram Reels or all those other platforms. I think that's probably going to do it for today. I will just say, I think we have like 250 plus people watching us live, which I'm pretty sure is a record for us. So thanks everybody for joining the stream. If you haven't yet given the video a thumbs up, that would be greatly appreciated, as this helps push these live streams out to more of the Gaming Careers subscriber base. And all the reviews that we've had on Apple Podcasts and all the traditional podcast platforms have been really, really helpful. So thanks to all the people that listen and don't get to catch the live shows. I know it's not the ideal time for everybody, but we have kind of committed to doing one at TwitchCon now. So I guess I better look at an Airbnb and flights and all those things so that I can make sure that I'm at the TwitchCon in the US. I have a lot of friends in the US anyway, so I'm probably going to be spammed with DMs to make sure that I do come across for the flight. But it's a long way, you know. I need to make sure that I milk it for all it's worth. But Ben, I don't think there's anything else for us to cover. Is there anything I've missed? Any plugs that we need to make?
I don't think so. The big theme this week was just lots of stealing features from each other with YouTube and Twitch, which is always good if you're a viewer, because that means you get more features on both platforms. So hopefully we'll see more of that ongoing next week. I'm really curious to see. Still looking for more YouTube moves. I feel like they're coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but maybe some more of that next week. And like Pete said, thanks for all the comments and reviews and everything, guys. If you have a question, you can't be here for the live show, make sure you can drop us a message on Twitter, Discord, anything else, and we will try and get back to it on there. Because we do try and take questions during the show and feed off the chat sort of for questions. So thank you guys for giving your feedback on this stuff as well.
I think you've done the best job of wrapping it up that we've ever done. Yeah. Thanks everybody for watching. I don't need to say anything else. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
See ya.